This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. This week we go back to the 4F, that is Obie's 4F convention earlier this year in April, and we pick up with one of the conversations I had with one of the magicians there, and that's going to be Jeff Williams. Very funny guy, and we've been good friends for such a long time, and I've been wanting to sit down and actually do a longer podcast with him, and we had that opportunity while we were there. Well, I kind of put this back as I've had some other things that I've been letting go for first, but before we get into the podcast, I want to, it's just been a horrible year as far as the passing of friends, and we just had another magic legend who had passed this week, and that was Arthur Emerson. He was perhaps best well known in the magic community as being a magic dealer and also part of the Emerson and West team. He was just short of his October 17th birthday of being 90 years old. He's from Fort Worth, Texas, and he was perhaps best well as far as their trick. They did a lot of packet tricks and other things that they had invented, but the most well-known trick was their Color Monty, which had sold over 125,000. And if you want to hear more about Arthur and some of the things he had been involved with, then there is a podcast in which he had chatted with the Order of Willard group at a Texas Association of Magicians convention, and you can go back and listen to that episode number 183, which was back in August of 2014. Well, he did talk a lot about his early work with Emerson and a lot of other magicians he'd worked with and known. It was a fascinating conversation. He spoke for about a half hour to our group, and so I had a chance to share that on that podcast. So if you go back into the archives and look for that episode number 183, I know that you will enjoy that one. Again, that was day one from the TAOM 2014 in Fort Worth. Well, this week we're going to pick up again with where we had left off at the Obie's 4F convention. And this week we're going to talk with Mr. Jeff Williams, and he's going to talk a little bit about creativity. Now, let me suggest also that if you're not already friends of his or follow him on Facebook, I suggest that you do that. If you are one of those people who do get involved with social media, and or if you're on Facebook, then you need to be following Jeff and reading his daily puns. He's had well over 1,000 puns, so he's been doing this for a few years, and they are very funny. And on this week's podcast, he talks about developing these puns and also creative writing and comedy writing in particular. And it's very interesting as far as mind mapping and other things that he discusses on the podcast here this week. In addition to that, as part of a video series he did called Brain Candy. So I encourage you to go over to YouTube and take a look at some of his videos. Very funny, where he does many weird things, like lifting himself up by his head off the ground, does a levitation. Funny. Anyhow, a lot of other things that and he challenges himself to make these videos with just one camera shot and everything. Anyhow, he talks about that all on this podcast. I'm not going to ruin any of it for you. I know you're going to enjoy it. So please welcome my friend this week, Mr. Jeff Williams, here on The Magic Word. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we have had an opportunity in the past to visit with my friend Jeff Williams here on many occasions, but we really never had a chance to sit down and talk for a long time. So you just heard some snippets of conversations with him over the past few years, and so now we get a chance to actually sit down and chat. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for having me do this.
Well, I'm really glad and happy to have you. You're a very funny guy, but aside from that, just a wonderful human being, you know, in general then as well, as being that male model that you are.
Well, and most of the people that I've stabbed have recovered. So that actually, those don't go
Those
down.
Charges have been dropped.
That's
then.
Correct, yeah.
And you reside now in Florida, but that's not where your home. Your home was like north. Were you from like Michigan or Minnesota or something?
Well, I was born outside of Kansas City, Missouri.
Little place outside Wedlock.
Yeah.
Wedlock, Missouri.
Yeah, no, I lived on a farm. And then
what part of Missouri?
It's called Greenwood. It's a little tiny, for the people who know Lake Winnebago, which is a giant community there, most of that is our farmland underwater. So,
okay.
Yeah. Then moved to Sedalia, where I went to high school, college in Illinois, spent a year in Venezuela, came back, was in Missouri for a while, then Tucson, Arizona, then Minnesota for 15 mm-hmm. years. Well, actually, Tucson for seven. That's where I got interested in magic.
Okay.
They have an incredible magic community there.
They do. Did you get to know John?
John Schrock. And Eric Buss.
Right.
And Adrian Van Vactor. A bunch of just heavy hitters. Just love those guys. And then moved to Minnesota. I was there for 15 years. And now I've been in St. Pete Beach, Florida, which is near Tampa, mm-hmm. For the past 7.5 years.
Which is where you met your wife.
Yes. No, it's not where I met her. Oh. I met her back when I was in college in Illinois. She was in high school with my sister, and we were just friends back then.
Right.
And I found out later she had a crush on me. I had no clue.
That's funny.
Yeah, and then 35 years later.
She'd loved you from afar.
Yeah, yeah. We had a friend play matchmaker. And it worked, and I thought, well, she can either come up and live with me in Minnesota, and we could freeze to death together, or I could move to Florida. And it turns out that I should have been down to Florida a long time ago.
For what reason? I mean, are there a lot of companies down there, or are you used as a base of operation, or what is it about Florida, aside from the weather? But
well, I can live pretty much anywhere, but she has to have warm weather, and she's a nurse, but she works out of the house doing. Mm-hmm. People just.
For hospice worker, kind of a?
No. She was. She does risk assessment for medical insurance companies, and so she sees how people and their illnesses and things like that, and projects how much they're going to cost the insurance company later. So, it's very technical stuff. But she gets to do it from home, and she's super qualified and really incredible gal.
And as far as the shows and things, I mean, did you find that you're keeping extremely busy in and around Florida from tourist companies or what?
Oh, I have been. Yeah, I do corporate things, a lot of private parties, cocktail parties, after dinner banquets. And I'm finding that craft beer places, beach bars, they're enjoying the entertainment as well. So I've actually just booked a formal close-up show at a craft beer place that's just down the street from me. So it's, they say, we want to give it a shot.
Now, is that something that's like a regular thing, or like a restaurant type of thing that you would go and work at craft beer? I mean, I know this is a special one-off kind of a thing, but.
Yeah, so they want to see how it works that environment.
Yeah. Yeah.
There aren't a lot of magicians working the hotels and the places down there, so I'm getting my foot in the door with these places, and it's wonderful.
I'm not surprised, because it seems to me that Florida is a place for retirees, and that is that there are a lot of magicians down there, but they're not necessarily working any longer, but they enjoy magic. They like magic and will attend conventions and lectures. However, I don't know if they'd buy a lot of stuff. It's because as we get older, we don't need so much stuff. We're trying to get rid of stuff.
That's right.
Plus, we had it all, know it all, and or feel that way at least. And so not necessarily working. So you wouldn't have a lot of competition. I'm being stereotypical and kind of painting this with a broad brush, but I don't think that there are a lot of full-time professional pros in Florida as there may be in other states per capita.
Well, not in my area at least. Okay. I know Orlando and the Miami areas are much
but
more.
But there again, that's a huge tourist area. I mean, you got Mickey that is bringing everybody in, and Universal and everything. And so the little cottage industries that are set up around, I mean, for restaurants and whatnot else, certainly, yeah. I mean, there are a lot of magicians working in Orlando area.
There's a lot of work to go around.
Okay.
You know, and since it is a retiree destination place and a vacation spot, there's no lack of new people coming through, and as well as old favorites. So, I've got some. In fact, I have some retirees from Tennessee that are just trying to get me in every single venue that they down there. It's so much fun. I don't know. I'm just loving it. And you can't beat the climate. Even though we have a hurricane every now and then, we don't get hit as hard as Texas and North Carolina do. So, you know, it's wonderful. I just love it.
And so speaking of that, retirement communities and things, I mean, I work those occasionally in and around Houston as well. They don't pay necessarily as well, but you get to try out a lot of new stuff and everything. And I think there'd be a lot of opportunity for that there too.
There are the 55 and older community shows. In fact, I do a lot more of comedy and stuff mixed with magic in those shows than I do in some of my other ones.
Just really?
Because I'm as a lot of people who know me, I do a pun of the day on Facebook. Mm-hmm. It's an original pun that I write. And I've done, I'm coming up on almost 1,700 that I've done.
Okay.
Yes. And I discovered it accidentally. My buddy John Archer turned me on to Tim Vine. Those of you who don't know who Tim Vine is, check him out. He's a comic from the UK, and his show is almost entirely made up of puns. And it's the most some people consider it the lowest form of humor, but this is why. If a pun comes out of nowhere and catches you off guard, that's when people go, that's so. Because they're trying to compare it to a highbrow, normal type of humor. Mm-hmm. But a pun is a very, very short-lived type of play on words that is not meant to be epic. And so consequently, if a pun catches you off guard, they tend to be almost an annoyance. Mm-hmm. But if you know the pun is coming, it's going to be a pun. Mm-hmm. Now you start rating it against other puns and how clever was the choice of words and the word construction and the brevity of it as well. And you start rating them that way, and they become hilarious. And that's when I realized, when I watched Tim's show, and you can see a bunch of clips of him on YouTube,
yeah,
that if you know the next thing that comes out of his mouth is going to be a pun,
right,
they are absolutely hilarious. And after I watched, he had a full hour show on YouTube. After I watched it, I started thinking in puns because comedy writing is one of my things. I just absolutely love it. It's when all my friends, when I was young, when they all wanted to be astronauts and policemen and, you know, basketball players, I wanted to write for the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Mm-hmm. And so, because I thought sitting in a room with a bunch of, you know, Steve Martin and all of Pat Paulson.
Yeah.
Exactly, you know, and Super Dave Osborne,
yeah,
and Judy Carter and all these people, that to me was, I think that was my goal in life was to do that. Just I thought that's where I belong. And so after listening and watching Tim Vine, who's just wonderful, he's incredible. I started thinking, I could do this. I could write some puns. I mean, and they started coming and coming and coming. And all of a sudden, they flew out. I just had to get them all down. So I was recording into my phone. And I had so many of them, I thought, well, I'm going to start sharing them. And I shared one a day. And it just took off. And now it's been, let's see, I'm coming up on 5 years, I think, on Facebook.
Or daily.
Every day. Yeah, post one every day. I'm still a couple hundred ahead. So I keep writing a bunch of them. And sometimes they're topical because I find that's sort of fun to do as well. But it's become an incredible exercise. Everyone should have some kind of a creativity exercise that they can work with on a daily basis. This one's mine.
Yeah.
And some other people get on there and they start adding their related puns based on my pun.
And that might spark something for your imagination for one in the future too, I guess.
It can, but yeah. I love to see where other people are using this as a creative outlet as well.
Right.
So I'm having just the time of my life doing that. Well, getting back to the original reason why I mentioned that, in my 55 and older community shows, which we have a lot of retirement communities in Florida because it's the law. on stage left, I have a metal mic stand and a sign. It's a magnetic sign that's on there that says puns only. And that's off to the side. Mm-hmm. I have a guitar on a stand. It's an elevated stand, so I don't have to pick up the guitar. I can just walk over, throw my arm over it, and play. And I've played guitar longer than I've done magic, so I'm a fingerstyle guitarist, absolutely love it. So that's over on stage right. The magic in comedy happens in the middle,
okay,
but I'll stop.
It's a three-ring circus kind
of thing. It really is. My show is not a magic show anymore, it's a variety show. So I will turn and look over at the pun sign, walk over to it, and rip off 5, 6, 7 puns.
Mm-hmm.
And now I realized if you know a pun is coming, it's very funny.
You've created it.
Exactly.
It's
so now,
for it, yeah.
Exactly. The guitar is because I'll go over it. It's got a cloth over at the beginning of the show.
And they don't know what's under it.
They have no idea.
Right, right, right.
So you've got this mystery element while people are coming in and seating. And I'll take the cloth off and I say, now, I know several of you here came here tonight to to see a musician instead of a magician. We are not prepared to give you a refund. So from time to time, I'm going to do a song over there and you guys can shut your yaps. You know, which I love creating a little bit of animosity between me and the audience at the beginning. So anyway, having so much fun with that. Oh, that's my wife. She's probably, she's a telemarketer on part-time. So I have some comedy songs and things that I do over there. So now I've got the magic, and all of a sudden in the middle of, you know, doing something, I'll turn and look over at the pun sign.
Right.
And then start walking over to it, and people will start giggling after a while just because they know what's coming.
Yeah.
And now puns are
do you do that as a scripted part of your show in which you know that you're going to be going back and forth, or is that something that you kind of feel like, you know, I think that maybe I need to kind of lighten up the mood or go over here or do something else or change the direction a little bit?
I try to make sure that the puns are sprinkled, you know, rather evenly throughout the show. Mm-hmm. So I'm not doing giant.
It's almost like a running gag, obviously.
It really is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, using puns. So, but every now and then, I just do it by feel. And so.
Yeah, you know, I think that's very important to have some sort of a creative outlet like that. That reminds me that many years ago in Omaha, Nebraska, that Pat Hazel used to put things on his answering machine. And I've been over his house several times, and the phone would ring, and he wouldn't go and pick it up. You know, and I said, aren't you going to answer that? It could be, you know, a show or something. He said, no. He said, people are just calling to listen to my answer for the day, you know, on my answer machine. Because he was always putting some sort of a joke or a gag or something on there that was really funny, you know, and then you could hear it play, and then you hear somebody giggle, and then they'd hang up, you know.
Oh, that's really clever, actually.
So people called just to hear what his joke of the day was on his answer machine.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, here's a tip for all of those of you out there who do shows. Especially the pros. If someone calls and you don't know who the number is, let it go to your voicemail. Mm-hmm. Oh, and have an attractive voice do your voicemail message for you. Yep. Don't do your own.
Go to Fiverr.com with two R's, by the way. I've done what you're talking about there. Yeah. I've got an English lady with an accent, does mine.
Oh, yeah. See, that's
very classy, yeah.
Oh, definitely. So don't answer the phone. Let it go to voicemail. And then within 3 minutes, get the voicemail, and if it's a potential client, make sure you call them back, because that client does not want to hire the entertainer who's sitting there in his pajamas watching, you know, reruns of MASH, waiting for that. Exactly. They want the busiest guy out there, the guy who is the top pro, and they are way too busy to answer the phone right then, but they get back very, very quickly and professionally. And that is that's the best first, you know, they say first impressions kind of thing. That's the way to
that's one of the things, you know, that Banachek has whenever you call him, that he's saying that, I'm sorry, I can't answer my phone. I'm either on a plane or I'm on stage and I'm, you know, I can't get to your call right now, but please leave your name and number. Don't assume that I know what it is, because he's a mind reader.
Right.
So it's like, you know, be sure to leave the message with your phone number and everything, and I'll get back to you. But the point is, he's telling you basically, I'm busy. You know, I'm going to a show or I'm in a show. You know, that's why I'm not here, you know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Oh, no, that's great.
Yeah.
And the other tip is, when you do call him back, smile. Because
is one of the best pieces of advice, and we haven't talked about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's
as you talk, smile.
Yeah, because I'm smiling right now, and I don't even have to tell you that I'm smiling.
It's coming across.
And here's the thing. If you have a hard time smiling, forcing a smile while you talk, rerun a joke in your mind, and you know, and you almost want to laugh at it, but you're busy talking to a prospective client, and they can actually sense the smile. And people want to work with happy people.
Right.
We all know people that we are afraid to ask them, you know, how are you? Because then they're going to sit there and tell us, oh, and it's going to be, I was having a wonderful day, and now you're talking all about how your kid is bleeding you dry by quitting college early, and or your medications are not interacting properly. And by golly, we kind of dread that. And again, it's another first impressions kind of thing. So when you're talking with a client, get almost on the verge of laughing. And if you can get them to kind of laugh back and forth while you are talking with them, That's a wonderful plus.
It's win-win, yeah. That's
yep.
true.
Yeah.
Well, I think carrying on that same idea, when I go to a restaurant, you know you're going to be there for a few hours. Sometimes it could be drudgery, it's like any other job. I mean, if you're going to – that's your job to go to the restaurant. Before I walk into the restaurant – I mean, I'm excited. I've got things I want to do. But just to help kind of keep on my toes – as I'm walking toward, after I park the car and I'm walking over there for the next 100 yards or however far, you know, to the front door, I smile and I just am thinking about the people I'm going to entertain, and I put a smile on my face. First of all, I just paste it on. I just smile for no reason, you know, and eventually the smile will become genuine because you say you start thinking of a joke or start thinking of what you're going to do and the fun you're going to be having. It's one of those things, you know, where they used to talk about where it was Thurston, I used to peek behind the curtain, you know, say, I love you, you know, just looking at the people in the audience, you know, so this way that you are thinking about the audience. The same thing here. Before I walk in, and I think it's the same thing with a lot of shows. But with a restaurant, when you walk right in, you're going to start right away. The same thing, I think, if you're doing a cocktail party, I mean, and you get out and you start to go into the group, if you start smiling as you're walking into the banquet room, then, you know, it's your smile is part of your outfit or uniform, your business attire, I think.
You know? Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's like Jeff Hobson. He's probably got one of the best smiles in the business. His character is so wonderfully fun. Yeah. Well, he sparkles as well, you know. But all of a sudden, it doesn't matter what he says or does. You just like the guy, you know? And so it's something that you can learn, obviously.
That's right. That's right. Going to go back to puns, obviously that people want to hear some puns. And what are a few things that you have? Like, what was today? What's tomorrow's? What have you got planned?
Well, you have to go on Facebook in order to be able to actually get the puns every day, because when I do that, I
and
have
to your page, to Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff
Wayne. So this is for today. I scribbled an awesome drawing of a Union soldier from the Civil War. My Yankee Doodle is a dandy. Now that some of our foreign friends may not understand that one necessarily, but Yankee Doodle Dandy being an old song, and so I like to play with words, and I think everyone should, to a degree, if we are word artists and as magicians, that's more than a giant part of our work. And if you're a mentalist, it's almost all of your work.
That's correct. Yeah, because it's all your presentation, But as far as writing and script writing, do you ever have like a mental block? And if you do, how do you get over some sort of blank page syndrome?
That's a great question. Yeah, a mental block, easily. Mm-hmm. But it's a mental block is merely a wall that is not very wide. It's extremely tall. Mm-hmm. Don't try to crawl over it. Just walk around it. In other words, do something else. Stop and work on another project. If you have to, if you do play guitar, pull the guitar out. Forget about the comedy. Forget about magic. Forget about, you know, working in the garage. Play a song. Do something else, and your mind will unlock. It'll unblock on these things. And some of my best puns I've had at 3 in the morning. And all of a sudden I'll wake up and I'll go, I don't know why, but that is hilarious. And I'll grab my phone, and of course my wife's asleep, so I'll crawl under the covers so that the light of my phone doesn't wake her up. And I'll type in this pun in my little notepad, and then I'll put my phone away and I'll try to get back to sleep. And darn if it doesn't happen more often than not, within the next 20 minutes I'll come up with something else that I like even better. And I'll reach over and I'll grab the phone again, and I'm back under the covers. It's not unusual for me to wake up at 3 in the morning after going to bed about, you know, 10:30 or 11 and not get back to sleep, just because you have to let the spigot flow when it's open. But I don't worry about, oh, I've got to work, I've got to try to, you know, get
grind
this.
It out. It never,
No, and I don't do my best work whenever that happens. Mm-hmm. Just let it come. If you have to, you can start mind mapping the thing. And a mind map is you get a large piece of paper and a pen and just start writing down related words to certain things. Let me see. I do a comedy workshop where I talk about how comedy is important for comedy magicians because we can use it to mask things that we don't want people to remember. It's always good to do a secret move on a laugh line, mm-hmm. because when your brain is busy, you know, when it's like hemorrhaging or thinking of things, you know, it's way too busy to analyze the stuff that the eyes are sending to it.
That's interesting. Okay.
You can only
process really one thing at a time and keep focused. I mean, you can focus on some things, but really to maintain a focused way and try to figure out what they just said as opposed to what they just did, what your eyes saw. That makes sense.
Huh? Yeah, because the brain loves to laugh.
Yeah.
People love to laugh. Mm-hmm. Everyone does. And when your brain is laughing, it's like a lot of noise. And then the eyes are constantly sending information to the brain,
right.
which is a small amount of noise. Mm-hmm. But if the laughing is happening at the same time, that large noise completely covers up what they're seeing.
Just like in magic, the larger motion obfuscates the smaller movement.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like leading with your body. Well, this is like leading with your brain. Huh. And it's a really, really fun time to be able to do that. Well, so in my comedy workshop, I talk about how I constructed a specific joke. And it was, I saw the movie Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Have you seen that one?
Yes.
It's a classic. It's so wild.
Campy. Yeah.
I know, it really is. But I've got a problem with it. Okay? Because Abraham Lincoln, for those of you who are not, he was our 16th president of the United States, and big stovepipe hat, and it's in the mid-1800s. And in the movie, his wife, Mary Todd Lincoln, is played by this actress, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and she's a babe, right?
Yes.
But if you take the White House tour, you see the pictures of the real Mary Todd Lincoln.
Not quite the same.
Not so much, yeah. Which makes me wonder if Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was historically accurate, okay? In fact, the real Mary Todd Lincoln was so unattractive that some historians now believe that President Lincoln may have shot himself. Okay. Too soon? Is it too soon? So anyway, I that joke came about from doing what I call a mind map and a big piece of paper. And I've got Abraham Lincoln that I write that in a circle in the middle. Now I want to have everything. I write Civil War. Okay. I write a stovepipe hat. Never told a lie. 16th president. His wife, Mary Todd Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth. Supposedly shot him. There are some people who have theories that maybe it was somebody,
right.
Whatever. And so Gettysburg Address, his big, you know, speech that he did. And so I have all of these things, and I'm trying to wonder, how do they relate?
Mm-hmm.
How have we got? And then I go off on the John Wilkes Booth. Well, he was an actor. Okay, he used a pistol. It was at the Ford's Theater. So I start getting all of the related things. And then Ford's Theater. What other shows could have been playing there? He was in the balcony. So I've got that information. Mary Todd Lincoln. Not a pretty woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she was not a handsome woman. She was a very, very intelligent. Well, anyway. So I've got that in there. And so I'm starting to think, okay, shot himself. Not a handsome woman. She didn't shoot him. What if because she was so ugly, he shot himself? And I thought, that is so politically incorrect that it's ridiculous.
It's funny,
and
funny.
That's when it becomes funny.
Yeah.
So now it's backtracking. Now that I've got the elements that I wanted, I wanted to be able to then reword it so that it came out properly. And I worked on this thing for weeks until it just seemed to fall together.
Well, that is an important thing. I think also the elements of what makes something funny and the timing and how that you put the words at the right part of the sentence so that you don't reveal the punchline too soon.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the punchline has to have a certain cadence to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's...
Because otherwise it feels something's wrong there. It's not quite as funny. Sometimes if you just add another word or two, then it becomes much more hilarious.
Right. And so it's, So,
which is that rule of threes. And
This is a great way to beat that block that you think that you might have is by doing a mind map and be able to take, say, the different elements, because the whole thing looks like it's a big chart, you know, with all these circles and they're all connecting lines to the different things.
Right.
Take two circles that are far apart from each other and find a common, mm-hmm. what is common about them.
Venn diagram, where the overlaps, yeah.
Yep, and so, yeah, so basically, married Todd Lincoln's unattractiveness and the assassination. I put those two things together, and it kind of wrote itself at that point. But to me, that was, that's a really easy, fun way of being able to do it.
Uh-huh. And also a good way, like you say, to try to get rid of that mind block that you might have. And I think the same thing as well, like whenever that I used to write my Scott's thoughts, is that a lot of times that some things would just come as I was typing, you know, they'd be complete immediately. And other things I might have to come back to and tweak it week after week, and I just maybe have a little bit of a paragraph here or a sentence there, and then finally something finally starts to come together. But the most important thing is, I think, if you have any kind of a block, a writer's block of some sort, is just to start putting something on paper. It's just like with or onto the word processor, computer screen, that if you are brainstorming with somebody, there are no bad ideas. You just need to be throwing things out. In this case, you're brainstorming with yourself. Just throw ideas onto the computer as you're typing things in, that, like with a mind map, you're saying, you know, or physically actually you are writing something there where you're actually looking at the whole thing like that. So I think it's important, just write something. Don't just stare at it. Put on a word or two, you know, and eventually something will finally start to come together, I think.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. What's better than having to sit there with a gun to your head and force yourself mm-hmm. to be able to try to come up with something? A lot of times we miss the opportunity 1,000 times earlier in the day. How many times have you come up with an incredible idea, you didn't write it down, and 20 minutes later you're thinking, oh, what was that?
Well, the same like with a show when you say something funny and you know you got a good laugh and you think, what was that I said? Or some comment that someone, I wish I would have recorded that show.
Yeah, you know? And which is a great idea. You should be recording your shows, whether it's audio, video, or whatever.
There's so many cheap and easy ways to do it now.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Definitely. In fact, several of your shows, you should have the camera pointed at the audience.
Right.
So that you can get audience reaction, mm-hmm. and that tells you exactly how well you're doing. So anyway, we don't have to – I've got a lot of notebooks at home that are in boxes and stuff because that's, you know, how things get stored around my place. But each of us has these phones
right.
that we've got. They've got notepads on them.
Right.
They've got audio memo apps that, you know. And so consequently, you have no excuse mm-hmm. for if you have an idea –
right.
If you come up with this little brilliant, you know, brain burst, you should be able to somehow be able to annotate the thing.
Right.
And I've been doing it all weekend, you know, here at 4F.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just because it's, that's quite good. And it does look a little rude when some people are on their phones, you know, during a show or whatever, but I tend to sit in the back at 4F so I can watch the screens, but I'm there by a table, I can get some work done, you
right,
know.
Right, right.
And now I can go back later and go, what was that? And scroll through all of my notes. And I've got pages and pages and pages of stuff so that I haven't used. And some of it doesn't mean anything, and some of it's really, I think, pretty good stuff. It's
yeah.
just a matter of where is it going to fit. So when you have a brain block, go back to some of that other stuff and start working on that, and you'll find your brain will work its way around any problems.
Mm-hmm. It'll unlock the key.
Yes.
The key will unlock the door there.
So I guess the rule there is just don't fight yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And don't be afraid of having that block. As you say, yeah. maybe go out and find something else because there's something in the world that would, you know, trigger that. I mean, a lot of times, like you say, you're sitting in a restaurant or something. I remember years ago, I started out as an advertising major in college when I was at Southern Illinois University. And it was, we went up to Chicago to an ad agency, and they were showing us the different offices. And, you know, the guy who drew the cartoons for a Raid commercial, you know, and that kind of a thing. And there was one room, there was just a black cork board on all the walls, no furniture, no chair. And it's like, this is an empty office. I said, no. This is one of our creatives guys, and he comes in as the mood hits him, and he just will start sketching out ideas. He may be here at 3 in the morning until 5, and he might stay here for 48 hours and never leave his sleep, and he posts all these ideas just on the cork boards, you know, just all around. So he's in this little cell-like atmosphere, basically. But so we recognize, and this would have been back in the 70s, early 70s, that they were recognizing that different people work in different ways, and that we're not going to inhibit your creativity, and that was the way this guy just just happened to work, and he would come in with a sketch pad and draw some things and just, you know, put them on the board and move them around and whatnot. So it's whatever and whenever, you know, that works best for you. And magicians in general are pretty creative people. And, you know, and just as you said, your creative ideas can come any time of the day or night or whenever, and you might be up all night long or for a long period of time, mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, just be open to when the mood hits you. And if you're driving, please pull over and don't text while you're driving.
Well, now, there are some my phone is interfaced with my car, so I can say, hey, Siri, take a note. And just talk it out.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. And so while I'm driving, I never have to take my eyes off the road. Yeah. Please, let's all be safe, because your ideas are not going to do you any good if, you know, you're in the hospital. So, yeah.
That's right. Well, do you find sometimes when you do wake up in the middle of the night and have these great ideas and then you go back to sleep and then you read it, it's like, what the heck was this all about?
Yeah, every now and then. It is kind of, and I have to kind of think, okay, now I remember where I was going with that. But I've got some notes, I have to say, that are fairly cryptic, mm-hmm. That were probably situational from 20 years ago,
yeah.
And the situation is no longer there, so right. I'm trying to figure out exactly what the angle was on that. But it's I don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. Don't beat yourself up on this stuff. I mean, you know, it's ideas are they come unexpectedly, mm-hmm. sometimes it's not like squeezing, you know, juice out of a fruit. Sometimes you just have to let the juice show up and go, oh, something must have gotten squeezed just then.
Yeah
you know, you have to be open and just accept it, but don't worry about it, because it's not heavy lifting. You know, it's not brute force
right.
that gets the job done
right.
with ideas or creativity or comedy or that type of thing.
You were talking about Smothers Brothers and being in the writer's room and everything like that with some of those creative people. Judy Carter, by the way, of course, was a magician as well as a writer and a comedian and everything, very funny lady. Have you ever been in a writer's room, I mean, that has been part of something that has gone out on stage or TV or something?
I've collaborated with groups that have done that type of thing. I have a very close friend in the Minneapolis area, Scott Franz, and he and I would we would get together, and it was always a session of what can we come up with that, you know, is fun and unique. And we even did a whole project. In fact, I was talking with the guys in the Italian suite last night about Brain Candy, which was a project that we wanted to do some magic for our families and, you know, give them a DVD for Christmas
okay.
type thing, you know,
yeah.
so because we were out of touch most of the time. And then we decided, wait a minute, let's set some parameters and make it interesting. It's not just general magic. We're going to set some parameters. We want to do things that are done, since it's on video, and nobody trusts video anymore, because we've all seen dinosaurs run down the street of LA and it looked as real could
right,
be.
So
right. we know that whatever's on screen can be faked. So let's set this goal. Everything has to be done in one camera take with no edits.
Mm-hmm.
A single take. It may take 30 takes to get that single take, but it has to be done with no edits.
Right.
No green screen.
Mm-hmm.
No after effects.
No CGI of any kind.
None whatsoever.
Right.
We can restrict the angles because it's, you know, you're looking through the viewfinder.
Mm-hmm.
But if you had been standing there looking through the actual viewfinder.
That's what you would see.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was our goal.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, let's do some standard, really fun standards of magic, like Matrix and hanging coins and a levitation and that type of thing. But we had to adhere to those rules. So on the Brain Candy project, I had a self-levitation where I picked myself up by my own head in an empty parking lot. The Matrix was done without the hands ever coming together, and it was bare hands, no cards. Hanging coins, I decided I wanted to do Roth's hanging coins with one hand only. My other hand stays on my hip the entire time.
All right.
I pick the individual coins off the table, hang them in the air, and then be able to show the hand front and back. After the vanish, three coins in the air, and then, showing the hand front and back, I reach into the air, pull the coins out, and dump them back onto the table one at a time. Huh. It had to be done in one take. Well, that was miserable. Took us quite a while.
It was more than one take.
Oh, yeah. We did a signed card through a closed car window. And at no time was anybody in the car, and it's a real window, in fact, it was Scott's car. Mm-hmm. And we figured out a way of doing it. And it was it thrills me at how good it turned out. But we set so many parameters and things on us, knowing that, and turned it into a creativity exercise. And it's available. The brain candy.
I was going to say, where can you get that?
We were giving them away like candy, to different places. I mean, different conventions and stuff. I believe it's in over 17 countries now.
Wow.
But most of the video is on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. Most of the pieces where we make a horse appear and some other really, just really fun thing. Well, Scott's wife, they live on a farm and his wife has a horse. And so it's.
What's his name, Scott? Who?
Scott Franz.
Franz, okay.
Yeah, just a brilliant thinker. He's an amateur, but he's an amateur in the best sense of the word. He does it because he loves it. Uh-huh. And he's just a – I don't know. We work well together. You need – this is another creativity tip. Find someone who thinks like you do. And
I would think the opposite. You'd find someone who doesn't think like you, so that way that you kind of have a yin and yang. And
you can do that as well. But find someone who has similar goals as you, wanting to have this quality product, who tempers you. Scott would always go, no, that's not – you should do it this way. And I always, I always would sit back and go, I think he's right. And so be open to change, mm-hmm. and know that you don't have all the answers. Yeah.
And trust their judgment. It's not all about you.
Right. Because they may look at it from the outside. They may be seeing you, doing your performance and go, no, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. And find someone in your area that you can do this with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And because brain and the more people you have in a group, the better. So that's why the synergy for the Smothers Brothers worked so well, because they had so many different type of people, but they all had the same goal, is to create the highest quality product as possible. Mm-hmm. And the brainstorming process, I think, is one of the most fun things you can do.
Scott, speaking of Scott, Franz, Scott Robinson has a club called, I think, a Slight Club.
Slight Club, yeah.
And his idea is, with this small group of people, I guess by invitation only, they just kind of sit around and they talk about ideas. Let's say that you're working on something, Jeff. And so I will give you an idea. Well, yeah, what if you did this or this or this? And the point being is that is going to be your trick. And so no one else will be doing that as part of their show. So if there's something like, hey, I'm really want to work this into my show, anybody got any ideas, you're assured that no one else is going to say, hey, that's a good idea, I'm going to put that in my show. Where do you get that? It's the newest thing or whatever. But instead, it's like, okay, well, I'm taking, if I was thinking about it, it's now yours, kind of a thing, first of all. And then second of all, that they do trust the rest of the brain trust, that they're all going to give you the good ideas, then also. It's very interesting.
That's true. And there really aren't any bad ideas. They're just ideas that maybe should be used in different contexts or different types of things.
Right.
So when you're brainstorming, just don't throw anything out, which is another reason why, if you're doing it with a bunch of people, have lots of pads of paper around and scribble and take notes and that type of thing.
Like, again, when we talk about with the mind mapping, or that if you're putting something on your computer screen, just put stuff out. Just throw things out. I mean, it may be a bad idea now, but it could circle back around. It's like, hey, now that makes sense.
Save it all. Don't. It's not. No ideas are trash. Mm-hmm. Save them all. Even if they are politically incorrect, you may find a venue for that. You may find an avenue of being able to work that into a show somehow. But don't throw it.
Well, there's a comedian, Jeselnik. Oh, Jeselnik, who is completely politically incorrect and made a career out of it. Very, very funny guy. He's going, I shouldn't be laughing at that.
Right. Kind of we're told, don't insult your audience. Mm-hmm. Don't be mean to your audience. But Don Rickles made an entire career of just totally slamming individuals by how they dressed, by how they looked, their political, their religious orientations. Right. I mean, it was almost an honor.
Yes, what was
to get ripped on by Don Rickles and everything, because so he found a venue that is totally politically incorrect, and has made an entire life.
But that wouldn't work for everybody. Again, there's some people who might try that, and it's like, oh, that's not. appropriate, you know.
Right.
So.
But no, I mean, you never know where creativity is going to take you, which is another thing that I'm into, which is character development. My character on stage is an exaggerated version of me. Mm-hmm. It's not me, but it's kind of
it was something that Keith Fields was talking about in his lecture, where that you should be an exaggerated you, basically be bigger than life, you know, when you're on stage, you know, that people want you to be you when you come off stage. He was a fun guy or whatever, you know, type of personality is, but you should be a bigger you on stage.
Yeah, nobody goes to Cirque du Soleil to watch normal people do normal things.
Right. Good point.
The last thing I want to see is an average person walking go around. Out and just do some ironing.
Yeah.
Okay. I would want my money back immediately, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Cirque du Soleil what? Okay, so we want to see extraordinary people that are exaggerated and that are larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we enjoy. I'm sorry. Right. It's what we all love. And that's what we should be doing as performers. We should be giving an exaggerated, larger-than-life version of ourselves. And here we go back to Hobson, mm-hmm. you know, Jeff Hobson, who is way over the top. So amazing. And if you get to talk to Jeff off stage, mm-hmm. you know, in private or, you know, just in a social situation, which I have several times, he's just super down to earth, nice family man, wonderful, just a great guy.
Yeah.
But he's, when I say nothing like his stage character, he has some speaking mannerisms that he just
laughter and a few things.
Yeah, that he emphasizes with his character mm-hmm. that you can see in real life.
Mm-hmm.
David Williamson is the same thing. David's very quick, very fun, super chops, wonderful guy. And when he's on stage, he's just a more animated version of that. John Carney is so creative. He actually went and created a whole new character, you know, mm-hmm. Mr. Misto,
right?
Which you can see some of Carney in Misto, which I find hilarious.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because I would have thought that would have been, there would be no Carney left. It would be all Misto.
Mm-hmm.
But if you watch John and how he mumbles, he's got this wonderful, I almost want to be that type of thing. He's got this wonderful mumbling that he does. That
under his breath or something?
It's just, everything comes out. It's kind of stilted and a little bit, and you never know where he's going to go exactly, but he knows exactly what he's going to say. Misto does the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, my gosh, that's Carney in the Misto thing. Mm-hmm. I could see it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, if you're familiar enough with John's regular act, and then you go and it starts to become almost obvious.
You know, Danny Archer also then has the, the gangster, I forget what his mozzarella, Gino Mozzarella, I think is his title character,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
kind of a gangster.
Uh-huh.
But the point was, he said he developed that after seeing John being Mr. Misto, and because this way whenever that you book a show, and they say, well, we had you last year, said, but I've got a different show, and say, well, we still see Matt. Yeah, but I get a different character. It's just like a different person. So in other words, it gives you another opportunity for another booking.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
And also, Danny had said once that he got booked over in I want to say Madrid, possibly, and he was working with Tamariz and a bunch of, you know, with Leonard Green and some other people, and he's thinking, why am I there? And he asked the guy, and actually it wasn't there. It was on some beautiful island someplace off of Spain. But he said that because your character is what we stereotypically think of, you know, New Yorker, gangster type of mob person, you know, or an American mobster, you know, and you have this character that, you know, we think of some Americans like that from the movies, mm-hmm. and that was the reason he got the job. You know?
Oh, yeah. So how awesome is that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't be afraid to actually go crazy with your mm-hmm. character. It doesn't have to be similar to you. It can be very, very different, but mm-hmm. it's always going to have some of you in it because mm-hmm. Very few people, except for the super professional actors,
right.
you know, I hate to throw Heath Ledger out there because it got him in trouble going so far from his actual, you know, nature that, you know, it was he had a little bit of an issue with that. But don't be afraid of getting farther away than you think you should be.
Well, you were talking about Jeff Hobson, for an example, perfect in which that is nothing like him personally, as you say, in his private life. And the way that if you hear the story about how that whole characterization came about when he's working at a comedy club and he made some comment, and that he was in a biker bar or something, you know, where that, you know, he made a comment and somebody threw something back to him because it looked like he had a sparkly tie or something his wife had given him to wear that night. And then he said, well, I'm not gay, so I could be, or I used to be, or whatever. The one line kind of led to another, and it's like, hey, this really worked. And so a little at a time he started adding that, you know, into it.
And it was not his original idea.
Correct.
It was the audience's idea, and learn from your audience. Listen to your audience, because they're going to give you some great lines and great ideas. I'll even share one. Mm. It was just wonderful. Just one single little line. Everyone's done that cubio, the cube thing that moves on the string.
Right, slowly.
I used to visit the kids when I was in the Minneapolis area. I would go to, on Sunday afternoons, if I was not working, I would go to the wards and go from room to room and entertain the kids. Adults can read books. And they're good watching sports on TV and stuff. But kids are bored to death when they're in those types of situations, if they can't get out of bed and run around. So I would go from room to room and entertain them, and came up with some really fun stuff in the process. But I had Cubio, and I would treat it as if it was a living entity, right? And I said, this is Cubio. And they said, we know where he's from. And I said, I was thinking they're going to say magic shop.
Yeah.
You got that out of magic. No, that's what they said. They said, Cuba. he's from Cuba.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my gosh, that is such a wonderful, yes, you're absolutely right. And I thought, I got to write that down. That's so beautiful. That's absolutely wonderful inspiration that the kid had. And so I just love it. So, yeah, listen to your audience, because they're going to give you some stuff that you can use. In fact, I used to, in my show, I used to have an actual voice recorder that was just in my briefcase.
So during the show, you pick it up and actually...
Yeah, and I go, could I have that line? Because the guy would say something. I go, can I have that line? He'd say yes, and I would go over. I got an extra laugh by recording it into the recorder.
That is good.
But I also got the line, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, I got to get back to doing that again. Because I... that is... Yeah, that's a great technique, but you're not going to miss something if you do that.
Yeah.
So I always like to take notes, always do. But don't be afraid to have your character get as far away from you as possible. And sometimes it's really not that far. We were watching a show last night, and there's this lovely gal from Korea doing this, and she had pigtails that stuck out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, oh, these Koreans, they are so creative. These people, I want to be Korean. And as I said that to myself, I thought, you've got to be kidding. That's brilliant. And I thought, what if I came out? And of course, for those of you who don't know, I'm follically challenged. So I have my hair professionally thinned. And I'm okay, I'm bald. So I would like to come out with pigtails, you know, and go, okay, just picture me as a Korean girl. Okay, I know you guys are going to love this, because I wouldn't take her act, but do it in I take the energy that she had, which was so infective, everybody just loved it, and attempt to shoehorn my particular stage character into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I thought, I don't know where I'm going with it. I have no clue what act I would do.
An idea there,
but
though.
If I came out with black pigtails and go, just think of me as a Korean girl, that's the premise there is so funny. And again, I don't know where this is going to go. It's going to be fun years from now
to see if
I do something. But that is one of the things I said, oh, I got to make a note of that. That is really one of those just little inspired things.
Yeah.
I want to be Korean. The Koreans are so awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I will be Korean. As if you could choose that. Okay. As if. It's like nature, you know, has no deal in this.
Yeah.
I get to pick what nationality I want to be, you know, as if it's the nationality that gives you the talent.
Well, nowadays you can choose your sex, but you can't choose your nationality.
Yeah. Well, now I can. Yes.
Until now.
So anyway, that was one of those bizarre thoughts. And by golly, I could win FISM with that, I believe.
Ha ha ha. You got to get there first. Practice.
Oh, I left out some steps is what you're saying. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Well, listen, thanks for your time. That's been really great.
Oh, this has been so much fun. Really. Oh, gosh. I can't wait to listen to it so I can learn something.
Well, you were saying, you know, take a note. Well, you just took a note by talking about this. Later, you're going to, if you forget about that idea about being a Korean girl.
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, I'm a big fan of the Magic Word podcast, and I hope other people spread the word about it because it's such a wonderful, lovely resource that is it's doing such a great service.
Thank you.
You know, to the world of magic, and it's free, people. Come on. You know, you're not...
Donate.
Donate, yeah. Go ahead and donate. But even if you don't, take advantage of it because it's there.
Yeah, thank you. Well, of course, it is called the Magic Word Podcast. So what is your word? What's your phrase? What's important to you?
Today. Don't arm your audience.
What?
Don't arm...
I understand.
That would be my phrase that I would say for
give them bullets.
Don't give them a reason to not like you.
Okay.
And even if you don't fool them, because I work for magicians a lot, especially here at 4F, don't waste their time. Make sure that they're having fun, even if they don't. If they don't care about the trick, make sure that they care about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, make people care about you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so
very
care.
Good. Yeah.
And care about caring.
Yeah. That's a good Care Bear. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jeff Williams. This is Scotty out.
Great.
Wow, that was fun. Thanks, Jeff, very much for being my guest this week on the Magic Word Podcast. And I enjoyed not only our conversation, but also learning some things over there that I thought that was interesting about the mind mapping and trying to actually write out some ideas. Of course, I know about recording the shows, and there are a lot of things I think that we could do as performers to improve our acts, and a lot of things that you had suggested are wonderful. There are just some true gems and things I hope that people will incorporate when they go out. It's important, I think, to have your show actually scripted so that you're just not going by the seat of your pants and just saying things that are demonstrative in which you're explanatory from the standpoint of saying, do me a favor, will you please do this or whatever. Yeah, I think it's important that you have this kind of a script and also know where you're going to be going as you are performing your act. I mean, that's what your audience should expect. You should be doing the best you can for your audience. Well, anyhow, thanks again, Jeff. Great ideas. Thanks for your time and your words and your friendship. Well, it's that part of the podcast where we review a couple of items from Murphy's Magic Supplies. This week, we're going to be talking about the Survival Kit from Sands Mines, as well as Signs by Manuel Yasser from Vernet Magic. These are a couple of completely different items, one from the other, and we'll go into a lot of detail as to what I like and dislike about each of these, and they are available through the Magic Store here on the Magic Word Podcast. So, let's get started. First up, I'd like to talk about Signs by Manuel Yasser, which is available from Vernet Magic. That's Michelle and Greco. I believe they're in Argentina in Vernet Magic. Anyhow, this is a pretty cool idea, and I like it. Let me just say what you get as far as the gimmick goes is a friction pen. And if you're not familiar with that, then you can go back and take a look at these online. They are not necessarily easy to find everywhere throughout the world, but they are pretty cool. The effect that is taught in Signs employs the friction pen, but it also has an addendum at the end of the instructional video, which, by the way, is online, so you can download that. It's not going to be a physical DVD, basically, but it's something that you can watch online, and it is a very cool effect. The friction pen is something that I've toyed with for a long time. In fact, I've got something out that's a booklet with over a dozen effects in it. It's called Vanish Ink. The perfect pen for the particular prestidigitator. It's available over on my website at the magicwordpodcast.com when you would go and check out Scott's lecture items. Nevertheless, there are a lot of different routines using that friction pen. Here you get one routine with it, but you also get a routine without it. The effect itself, basically, with Signs is pretty darn cool, and I like the idea. Well, it employs an old simple method, and I'll tell you it's a one-ahead type of a method, but let me just explain. Here's what the instructions say as far as the effect. Imagine this. The magician shows three business cards with predictions written on them. These predictions are doodles, so he announces that he's going to teach three spectators how to read them. To do so, he whispers something to each one. The spectators sign the predictions. One of the spectators deals the card on the table and stops in three freely chosen cards at three different places. The three spectators name the predicted cards, and they match the chosen ones. Finally, the magician offers to explain to everybody how to read the signs. When he puts the signed business cards over a lighted candle, the doodles visibly turn into the three chosen cards. And then you can give the three cards away as a souvenir. Again, that's the effect that comes with it, and with the pen and everything then too. But at the end, he explains how to do this in an impromptu version. That is, that you can use this with a stacked deck of cards, but at the end, you don't even need to use the friction pen in order to get to the effect. In fact, the effect using the friction pen with the name of the card magically appearing is kind of a bonus effect that you get with the one that comes with the trick. But at the end, you don't even need that because the trick itself is pretty darn strong. And the fact that you're using someone else's deck of cards, if you're at a club meeting or if you're using your own deck, a card in a deck in play, and it can be completely and thoroughly shuffled, and basically you go through and do the same thing. So there's some good thinking here by Manuel Yasser.
The only drawback that I would point out to this particular trick is that it is required that you're seated. In other words, that after you get some cards, you're going to need to have them held out. You can put them in your pocket or something. I imagine that there are ways that you can kind of get around this in a strolling environment, which I perform in mostly. But if you are seated, this works best in a seated type of performing situation if it's going to be a formal show or that you're seated at the table with your guests and performing this. There's not any lapping, but there are some cards that are secretly hidden away that you need later. But nevertheless, the point is that this is explained from the standpoint of the performer being seated. But with some thinking, I think that you could probably do this standing as well. But I'm just saying that that's a little caveat there. That's the only downside of this, that it's explained requiring you to be seated during the performance.
I like the effect, and there are so many different things, again, you can do with this friction pen. As I said, I have about a dozen or so different ideas myself, but this is a cool little effect that sells for $25, and I would recommend it. It's called Signs by Manuel Yasser from Burnett Magic. The second thing we're going to review here is called Survival Kit by Sans Minds Creative Lab. What you receive here is a physical DVD, unlike the last one in which you get a download digital edition that's online. So in watching the DVD, it explains in about a half hour how to do five tricks. So the idea is, let's suppose that you show up at someone's party or someone's home, or you're out somewhere and they ask you to do a trick. And being a magician, you should be able to do something. So it should be an impromptu type of a thing. Well, the things that they talk about here, there are five tricks that they explain how to prepare and how to perform them. One is a vanishing bottle. There is a fork morph, which is a bent fork type of a thing, a glass bottle into an iPad, which a glass bottle, a real glass bottle, a Perrier bottle or something, is wrapped up in a newspaper, basically goes into the iPad, and you show then the picture of the iPad or the bottle on the iPad. There's a water vanish, and you can do a cute little trick with that, which cup is on your head and their head. Basically, you drink the water and then pour it on your head and it's gone. They turn theirs over and, of course, it's gone then too. So there's a water vanish. And then there's production out of an empty paper bag. So it just tells you how to gimmick a paper bag. All good ideas. However, that most of these ideas, I would imagine, you could probably find for free on YouTube, I hate to say. But that's kind of the way things are going now. But beyond that, when it's supposed to be a survival kit, something that you're going to be able to do in an impromptu situation, yeah, that's true. But it will take a few minutes or more in order to prepare that. So if somebody says, hey, can you do something? Say, yeah, give me a few minutes and I'll be right back. And by the way, do you happen to have a hammer? I need some tape and I need a special bottle. It's got this kind of label on it. Or I also need a paper clip. Have you got some rubber bands? So you're not going to, if you're going to be coming prepared with those things, in other words, you need a hammer to prepare one of these effects, or that you I mean, then why not carry a few tricks with you? In other words, anticipate that you're going to be asked to do something. If you go someplace and you're not anticipating being asked, and then you're going to be doing one of these things, you're still going to need all of these items to prepare to do one of the five tricks. So it just doesn't make sense to me as far as why that you would be taught these particular five tricks. They're not impromptu, per se, in which you can pick something up and make it vanish or appear or whatever. They all have to be prepared. Again, I agree that it only takes a few minutes to do it once you have the proper tools, but every one of these requires several tools and several props and extras and whatnot, bits and bobs and whatnot. So it's really not impromptu, and I really wouldn't call it a survival kit. I would say this is just a preparation kit that you could use. So overall, I'm really not impressed with this. This month here in June on At the Table, I have a lecture which is available. You can go to themagicwordpodcast.com and you go to the Magic Store and you can order that video. I've got over 3.5 hours in which, in most part of this, I talk about things that you can do impromptu, quite literally. If you're at a restaurant, you don't have to excuse yourself necessarily to go to the restroom and prepare something or whatever. There are a lot of things that you can do just kind of on the fly. And I would, that's my recommendation. If you're going to be needing something, it's a survival kit. I would think a survival kit would mean here are some tricks you could do to survive the evening if someone asks you to do something impromptu. It's not something that you're going to survive. I guess it's kind of like if you're going to be going out in the wilderness and you need a survival kit and you find out that, you know, there's a storm that blows in and everything. Well, you could be prepared if you have if you have some matches, if you have a tent, if you have a sleeping bag, if you have, you know, a hatchet, and if you all these other kinds of things, which you might as well bring those things along with you anyhow to survive. Doesn't make sense. Anyhow, that's why I'm really not recommending this. It's not Sans Minds makes well-produced DVDs. I'm impressed with the quality of the video. As for the content, not so much, at least in the context of how is presented a survival kit. I would say here are five tricks for you to be prepared to do. Or if you're going to be going to someone's house, you can call them in advance, make sure that they have these items that you can go back in their garage and prepare it beforehand. Anyhow, you kind of get the idea. I'm not real wild about it. It's called Survival Kit by Sans Minds, and it sells for $19.95. So there you have it, my unbiased reviews of a couple of things, one of which I would probably use the routine. Would I use the pen? Probably not. There are some other things I think are just as strong or stronger using that pen. Plus the effect of signs, I think, is really good and can stand alone on its own. And as for the survival kit, there are probably some good ideas there for a beginning magician, I believe, if you want to perhaps use them. You could use them in kids' parties. You could use them for adults probably as well. Anyhow, not my cup of tea, but my honest reviews on these couple of things. But even though it might not be something that would fit for me, or it might be something that does fit for me, they may or may not necessarily fit for you. I just want to give you my opinions on this, and if you're interested in purchasing these, you can always help support the Magic Word Podcast by going to our online magic store and buying them over there. Everything that we have reviewed on the Magic Word Podcast is available through the Magic Store at themagicwordpodcast.com. Well, I think that's pretty much it for this week. We probably ought to start to wrap this up. I appreciate you guys coming back and listening. Hope you enjoyed the podcast chat we had there with Jeff Williams, and also perhaps some of the ideas that I had suggested as far as what I like or don't like on these reviews. I hope that it's helpful. And again, if you cannot help us in terms of your financial support, surely you're going to buy a trick or something down the road. And when you do, and you're going to buy that from an online shop, please consider, again, using the Magic Word Podcast as being your online dealer to buy some things. And speaking of support, I appreciate those people who are friends of the Magic Word. You might have noticed that it's been some number of weeks or months since we've last actually welcomed someone new to the Friends of the Magic Word. It has been quite a few months, I guess, since we've had the last person who has donated. Maybe I just haven't asked for it, so I'm asking again. I would appreciate that if you have anything that you can give us in the terms of a financial support, it would certainly be helpful. nothing more than perhaps just a cup of coffee a month, the cost of a cup of coffee a month, whatever, that you could afford. Or if it's just a one-time donation, that's fine too. You can do it through PayPal or through Patreon.com. All the information is available over there on the website at themagicwordpodcast.com, and your support and your listening is appreciated. So until next week, stay well, get booked, and make sure that you care about your audience and don't arm them. This is Scotty out.